This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
This morning we talked about something for the Christian life that's really, really necessary. What was that thing that's really necessary for the Christian life? Faith. Faith is absolutely essential. You can't have Christianity without faith. And we talked about faith especially because of the importance of believing in the resurrection of Christ. And Jesus was very upset when the disciples didn't believe the reports that he had risen from the dead. And we looked at different elements of belief and how that faith is superior to our logic. Faith is superior to our senses and all those types of things. And then we said that tonight we're going to talk more about the meaning of faith. What is faith? And how does faith act? What does it do? And then we'll talk again tonight about the power of faith and how that faith, specifically faith in Christ, faith in his resurrection, how that can help us in our own lives. So let's start with the first topic, the meaning of faith. What is faith? And I think sometimes there's a bit of a misconception among us at different times, different seasons of our life, or maybe different people. There's almost an idea that faith is an unwavering confidence, and this idea is taught by faith healers and TV evangelists that if you have enough faith, or if you have high quality enough faith, then whatever you believe or whatever you speak is going to happen. And so now, really, the power and the virtue isn't with God, it's with me and the quality of my faith. And that's not what the Bible means when it talks about having faith. Faith is not the opposite of uncertainty. And I want you to think about that. Faith is not the opposite of uncertainty. Sometimes we might be tempted to think, oh, well, somebody who has faith, they're just absolutely sure. There's 100% in their mind. There's no doubt. There's no uncertainty. Well, I would say that the opposite is actually true, that faith is impossible without uncertainty. Faith is the other side of the coin of uncertainty. And I think Scripture says it best in Romans chapter 8, verse 24. So maybe you'll find your way there, please. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Are you a person that likes to ask a lot of questions? Are you curious? Do you wonder? Are you saying, is it for sure? How can I know? Romans chapter 8, verse 24, talks about the fact that faith is not the opposite of uncertainty. Faith is actually only possible when there is some uncertainty. Romans 8, 24 says, we are saved by hope. Can you agree with me that hope is similar to trust and faith? Yeah, I think it's the same idea. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? If you already have it, you're not hoping to have it. If you've already seen it, if it's been proven, then you're not hoping anymore. You know. See, faithing and knowing are not the same thing. And he says here that hope is only possible when it's something that you haven't seen yet. I would add this, faith is obedience to God in the face of uncertainty. Faith is obeying God even though there is uncertainty in your situation. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I can't prove to you that it's going to go this way or that way. But I'm going to obey God anyhow. That's biblical faith. Turn to Hebrews 11, verse 8. I mean, how can you have a message about faith without Hebrews 11? Hebrews 11, 8, maybe we'll read some more of Hebrews 11 in just a minute. Somebody made a rash vow this morning about an hour-long service. Wow. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. I think just part of the verse will really suffice for what we're thinking about just now. Hebrews 11, 8 is talking about how God called Abraham or Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And he didn't give him a lot of information, didn't have GPS, no signal at all, no map, didn't know the end of the story. And it says in Hebrews 11:8 that by faith, Abraham went out, not knowing whither he went. See, if God had explained everything to Abraham and proved it to him and given him all these assurances and details, it wouldn't have taken faith for Abraham to move out. But God says, Abraham, I want you to leave. And he left. Faith is not a lack of uncertainty. Faith is obedience to God in the face of uncertainty. And don't we see it in the New Testament too? With the son, with the man whose son was demon-possessed, and the disciples weren't able to cast the demon out, and Jesus comes to him, they talk, you know, there's the whole exchange there with the crowd, and finally it comes down to this. Jesus says, do you believe? And what does the man reply? Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He says, well, your disciples, I thought, could help me, but they couldn't. Maybe you won't be able to help me either. I think you will. I'm still here. I didn't turn and walk away. And I'm waiting, and I'm listening, and I'm responding. But answer the question, did the man know 100% for sure that Jesus was going to cast the demon out? He didn't know. He hoped, but he didn't know. Faith is not the opposite of uncertainty. It's obedience in the face of uncertainty. And so if you are a person that tends to be uncertain, that tends to be uneasy and question, take courage. Just because you're uncertain doesn't mean you can't have faith. You can have faith in the midst of your uncertainty. You just have to obey and ask God to help you with your unbelief. I think maybe a very quick and simple illustration may be helpful here. Mrs. Alonzo, can I borrow your daughter for a minute? Could Sarah come down here? All right, come on down, Sarah. This won't hurt for long.
Oh, I said, do you like your community or about?
No.
Did they know what happened?
Oh, I think that's all here. Let's get up.
Alright. Well, why don't you pretend you like them enough to stay with us? And then you can see about being nice to them later if you want to. Alright? But I think it's just a little straight to the point. You see, I talked about these talks a few weeks ago, and one of our loving, generous church members has decided to try to get me diabetes. And gave me about 900 Reese's cups. So that was amazing to go through. Now, if you like Reese's cups, and I called you up here and I pulled out a Reese's cup, what would be going through your mind? Yeah, she said, I want it. Now, are you standing there thinking, what? I don't have to really eat that Reese's cup right in front of you. No. You're hoping that I give it to you, right? Okay. So then let's say I do this. Okay, Sarah, I need to do this for you. Can you close your eyes? And hold out your hand. Alright. Now, you know that I'm going to put a Reese's cup in your hand at this point. Because you don't have it. But can you hope that I will? You can believe that, can't you? You can trust that Kathleen's a really nice guy. And if you only had one, you might as well give it to me. But since he's got a lot, he might share. And so you stand there with your hand out, your eyes closed, and you're hoping, aren't you? That's a good picture of faith that you will receive the Reese's cup. Now that you have it in your hand, are you hoping that I'll give it to you? Why? Okay. So what else do I still need to do? If I already put it in your hand? Well, I didn't doubt any of it. So when I put it in your hand and it's yours and you have permission to eat it, do you still hope to get it? Or do you already have it? You already have it, right? And that's what it is when we trust God. We trust God for the things that we don't have. We hope in God for things that haven't come to pass yet. Can I tell you, Sarah, I haven't seen that. Is there that? Have you seen that? I haven't seen that either. But I believe I'm going to go there. I don't have it yet, but I can trust it to get that. It's kind of like standing there with your hand out. God, do I have it yet? I'll keep you a little bit. That's a picture of faith. And so you're not sure that you're going to receive it, but you believe you will, and so you, okay. Does that make sense? Alright, thank you. What about if you're being that sister, okay? Appreciate that. Let's give her a hand.
What a nice. So Samuel could give us another illustration of faith. He was back there hoping too, I think. So let go from your mind the idea that in order to have faith that pleases God, I can never have a doubt. That's not it. Faith is obeying God in the face of uncertainty. Abraham did it, and so did the father of the demon-possessed boy. Have you ever wondered why there is so much uncertainty in life? I mean, if I ask you, how many things are you unsure about? See, when you're a teenager, you think, well, by the time I get to be old, you know, like 24, I'll have everything figured out. And the 24-year-olds think that the 36-year-olds have everything figured out. And surely by the time I'm middle-aged, you know, I'll know all the answers, right? So how about it, adults? Any uncertainties left in your life? There's a lot, aren't there? I mean, you got to decide which nursing home, you got to decide which pharmacist, there's a lot of uncertainty in life. There's a lot of unknowns. There's things that you don't know how it's going to turn out. Have you ever wondered why there's so many questions? It seems like every stage of life, there's new uncertainty, isn't there? Maybe, just maybe it's because every uncertainty in your life is an opportunity for you to trust God. Every time there's a problem that you don't know how to fix, anytime there's a challenge that looks like a tidal wave about to crash on your head, you say, all right, it's an opportunity for faith. This could hurt. This might be devastating, but I'm going to believe God. Because we know that Hebrews also says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So since we have to have uncertainty before we can exercise faith, and we can't please God without faith, we have uncertainties in our life. We have difficulties. We have problems. We have unknowns so that we have the opportunity to please God. So rather than you know, try to get away from those uncertainties and try to control all the factors in your life, accept the fact that there will always be things beyond your control. There will always be unknowns. There will always be potential for difficulty and problem. Embrace that and say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And just close your eyes and hold out your hand. Or whatever it is that He asks you to do. So what does faith do? Faith is obeying God in the face of uncertainty. What does it do? There's two aspects to faith. There's a trust aspect and an obey aspect. And I meant to say this earlier. Brother Loran, can we plan on singing that for our closing song, Trust and Obey? That would be great. I love that song. What does faith do? Faith trusts and faith obeys. Faith recognizes the reliability of God. If I'm going to have faith in God, it's because I believe that He knows what He's doing. If I don't have faith in God, it's because I'm not sure God is right about this one. I mean, God might have been right for Abraham. He might have known what He was doing in Daniel's life. He even did pretty good, you know, for some of the prophets. But I don't think God's got my situation handled. If you really believe that God is reliable, that's faith. It believes that He's accurate, He's correct, He's wise and dependable. Faith is trusting God, but faith is also obeying God. It's not just a mental thing, it's a life thing. Faith recognizes not only the reliability of God, hear this, faith recognizes the authority of God. God has every right to tell me what to do. So if He says, close your eyes and hold out your hand, I'm going to close my eyes and hold out my hand. If he says, take up my bed and walk, I'm going to take up my bed and walk. If he says, take up your cross and follow me, I'm going to take up my cross. Because not only is he reliable, that he always knows what's right, he always knows what's best, he is in authority over me. And I need to obey him. He has the right to direct me. And that's what you see all through Hebrews 11. Again, if it weren't for that rash promise, we could read the whole chapter. Do that on the way home tonight, okay? Somebody read the Bible. Story after story. This person believed God and did this. This person believed God and did this. Abel gave a more excellent sacrifice. And Moses and his parents, they didn't fear Pharaoh. They obeyed God. And on the stories go of people that recognized that God was reliable and submitted to his authority. They trusted and they obeyed. So faith is obeying God in the face of uncertainty. There's a trust aspect and there is an obedience aspect. That's what faith means when you read about faith in Scripture. Now, let's move to the power of faith. And I hope this will be encouraging to you tonight. We talk sometimes about power in different segments. And I just want to be clear that they're kind of, I think, all named for the same thing. Have you ever heard the song, "There's Power in the Blood"? Would you be free? There's power in the blood. Is that true? There's power in the blood to forgive us of our sins. The song goes on to say, would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood. Have you heard of the power of the gospel? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God. Okay? Have you heard about the power of the cross? Yes, there's songs about it. There's people talk about the power of the cross to change lives, right? And Paul talked about, I want to know the power of his resurrection. So, just to be clear, there's not a difference between the power of the resurrection and the power of the blood and the power of the cross and the power of the gospel. It's all God's power, isn't it? God is the one that is the power that makes any of that work. It's because of God that the blood of Christ is effective in the forgiveness of our sins. It's because of God that Christ raised from the dead, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that dwells in me and enables me to live the Christian life. It's all the power of God. But we need to have faith in, we need to believe in the power of the resurrection and of the cross and of the blood and of the gospel. Power for what? Well, I think a good illustration comes from the familiar scriptural phrase, the just shall live by faith. We saw that in Sunday school a couple weeks ago. It's from Habakkuk chapter 2, and then it's quoted three times in the New Testament. In Habakkuk chapter 2, the context is such that he's saying the just shall live by faith in the sense that there's evil people and there's proud people, and they believe this, and then this is their mindset, but in contrast to them, the just are going to live by faith. And the emphasis there is how they're going to go in an ongoing way of living. It's how they're living their life. They're living their life day to day in the operation of faith. But interestingly, when Paul quotes Habakkuk 2:4 in the New Testament, he quotes it in a few places, and then it's in Hebrews as well. In his quotation in Galatians chapter 3, Paul is using the phrase, the just shall live by faith, as an argument for salvation not being by works, it is by trusting in the power of God. So that phrase, the just shall live by faith, is kind of a good illustration of the two areas of the power of the resurrection, the gospel, the blood, the power of God in our lives. Faith, number one, gives us the power for salvation. It's what enacts the power of God. You're familiar with Ephesians 2. I don't think I need to explain this to most of us. It says in verse 8 that it is by grace that we're saved. It's God's grace that saves us, not our works and efforts. And that grace saves us through the channel or the pipeline of faith. That's how the grace gets to us. Okay? So when we talk about the power of faith in our lives, faith can save us as a vehicle for the grace of God. But what I want to encourage you with tonight is how that faith can enact the power of God for Christian living. I'm talking about the fact that we all want to somehow live this Christian life the right way, don't we? I don't think you'd be here tonight if you didn't. You want to resist temptation, don't you? You want to obey God even when it's hard. You want to have joy and the abundant life even when circumstances go a little south. You want to endure difficulties by faith. How do we do that? Well, faith is what engages the power of Christ to live that Christian life successfully. I think a couple verses will clarify it for us. Galatians 2:20 is a familiar verse, and meaning no disrespect, I will tell you that I felt like it was the start of an answer, but it kind of left me with questions still. Galatians 2:20 is the verse that says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, this Christian life, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so that phrase, Paul said, I live this Christian life by the faith of the Son of God. Isn't that great? What does it mean? How do I live my life by the faith of the Son of God? What does it mean to say that Christ lives in me? The life I live is no longer me, but Christ. I mean, that's really beautiful. It's great expression. But how do I do that? How do I know if I'm doing the same thing Paul did? What does it look like? And as I turned it over in my mind and was struggling to come up with something that, you know, that I could get my hands around, the verse from 2 Corinthians was brought to mind. 2 Corinthians 5:7. It's amazing to me because this verse has unlocked a lot for me. And it's actually, in your Bible, it's going to be printed in parentheses. The entire verse is in parentheses, but I'm glad it wasn't left out, aren't you? 2 Corinthians 5:7 simply says this. I think everybody can remember this. And so we're going to all say it together a couple times just to kind of reinforce it there in our brains. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:7. You can look at it. You can listen. And then we'll all say it together. I'll read it first. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Say it again. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Again. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And that helps me understand what Galatians 2:20 means when it says, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It means I walk by faith. I don't walk by sight. So we'll do another illustration that I think can help crystallize this for us, because it sounds very theoretical, doesn't it? Like, yeah, I'm sure, like, probably A.W. Tozer walked by faith, not by sight, but I don't think I can do that. You know, probably these ancient devotional writers, Matthew Henry, he probably understood what it meant, you know, that Christ lives in me, and it's I live by the faith of the Son of God, but I'm just an ordinary person living in 2021 trying to, you know, make it through somehow. I don't know how to do that. Well, we walk by faith, not by sight. And I've been thinking about this, and I don't know how she would feel about this. Lydia, how would you feel about coming up front tonight? I know sometimes you like the idea and sometimes you don't. You've had a busy week. What do you think about it? I couldn't hear. She'll go if Kalina goes. All right. How about this? Lydia, would you come if one of your parents comes? Could we do that, or do you need Kalina too? She's thinking. You want Kalina to come in your place? Now she's really thinking. Is Kalina volunteering? Neither of them want to come. How about Lydia and Kalina? Can you come together? All right. They're going to come. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Pastor Peter, I need you too. All right, so they're all going to come up. Let's see here. All right, here's what we're going to do. And this will hurt even less than what I did to Sarah, okay? It's not hurt at all. I love this. Pastor Peter, you look funny. All right, so Pastor Peter, I'm going to give you some instructions, okay? You have to read them to yourself. You can read them back to me, but you can't let the girls read it.
And here's what we're going to do. One of you girls is there from the World of Sport, and one of you gets to wear something really cool that I borrowed from Claire. Okay?
One of you is going to wear a blindfold.
Do you think you can do that?
Okay, good job. You got past it.
Yay! We did it!
Okay. So you finished the jobs. We're going to call that good for today. You can hang out your light bulb.
Phew!
Did you see what he did to me? Look, you were supposed to walk away. I have this chair in your way. Did you know that chair over there? How come you didn't do it? Daddy told you not to miss, right? You see how Daddy helped Lydia for this? That's nice, huh? Thank you. You all did a great job. You did a great job. Wonderful.
Wow. So, boys and girls, was Lydia walking by sight? Was she doing what she did based on what her eyes were telling her? No, she wasn't. What allowed her to be successful in avoiding the danger of that chair and in accomplishing the job that she had to do? How was she able to do that? Could she see through the blindfold somehow? How could she do it? She listened and obeyed, didn't she? Yeah, I just saw your hand, sorry. So, to walk by faith and not to walk by sight means three things. Number one, we walk in dependence. Was Lydia depending on her dad? What if her dad had told her the wrong thing? That would have been bad. What if she hadn't listened to her dad? So I don't think Daddy knows. I'm going to figure it out on my own. Would that have worked very well? No. She had to depend upon her father. She had to believe that he knew what he was doing, and then she had to do something really important. She had to obey. What if Daddy said, okay, I need you to step forward, and she said, no. I don't know why you should step forward. You need to prove it to me. Would it have ever worked out? She had to depend on her father, and then she had to obey her father. That's walking by faith. And then the third thing she had to do was to have confidence in her father. Now, I know at first she was kind of nervous, but if we had had time to do more and more things, do you think she would get comfortable with just, I can't see, but I'll just do what Daddy tells me, and I know it'll work out? Yeah, even the second one, did you see how much faster the second one went than the first one? Because she's like, oh, I get it. I can trust Daddy. I just listen and do whatever Dad tells me, and I don't understand what's going on here, but it'll work out somehow. That's what I think the Bible means when it says we need to walk by faith, not by sight. Some of us are older than Lydia, but you ever feel like a little kid walking blindfold through the world? And you don't understand. And you don't know how to accomplish. You don't even know what's in the way. Well, you need to do what Lydia did. You need to have a dependence upon God and say, God, I can't do this by myself. I am blindfolded like a child. You need to next have that obedience to God. Say, God, I don't have to understand, but I will obey. I will do whatever you tell me to do. And then you can have confidence. You can have that trust that says, I don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen. I don't have to be in dread or nervous and worrying all the time. I can be at peace because I know that my God is good and that my God is in control. Let me encourage you to walk by faith this week, not by sight. The same power that raised up Jesus from the dead is available to help you live the Christian life. It was there to save you, and it's there to guide you to glory.
Isn't that just like the Lord? So very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.